Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima. All we are doing still before the apparitions, of Our Lady at Fatima, and also even before those apparitions, you know that there were three apparitions of the angel. So even before that, we are preparing the way to those apparitions. So what we are doing is like a John Baptist's sort of preparation, preparing the crib where this revelation is going to happen, prepare our minds and our hearts to be able to conceptualize these events. From the reasonable point from the reason point of our being, you remember that I told you that faith is a reasonable gift. So we try to reason Fatima, not to rationalize it, because you cannot rationalize it. You cannot have final proofs, but to be able to understand it in a reasonable way, what happened there. And we have been saying that in Fatima, it's the extraordinary that happens extraordinarily. Before that, we said that according to a theology that is mostly based in the Newton physics, that the extraordinary happens ordinarily, that you need faith for it to happen, and you need faith to see it, to experience it. Anyway, but we got out of that those physics, because we are in the times of relativity, Einstein, quantum physics, and although the theology that should go with this quantum physics is not yet written. There is one or two authors that write about it, but we are not yet there. And within this theology, we said that it's much easier to believe, and within this theology, we can say that Fatima is the extraordinary that happened not in the ordinary, but also extraordinarily. And we said that also about other revelations like the resurrection of Christ. It is something that comes as a surprise to the disciples, something that is not expected, and something that was really needed. Otherwise, we would be at the foot of the cross still, worshipping a dead God or a dead prophet, because if he didn't raise from the dead, he would be just a dead prophet like many other prophets in Israel. So, but the resurrection is heaven on earth, is heaven's intervention, very, very extraordinarily. Otherwise, as we said, the apostles would not come out of the trauma that we have seen in the disciples of Emmaus, the trauma of the crucifixion, of the one that they saw, everybody saw that was a great prophet, and they had big hopes that it would be more than just a great prophet, the Messiah, the Son of God. So we are doing this preparation, and we have touched upon many concepts, religion and revelation. We said that ours is a revelation, it's not a religion, because it's God that takes the initiative. The initiative is from heaven, so it's a movement from heaven down to earth, not what a religion is, a movement from the earth to heaven. And one of those concepts that you said, that we said already, we spoke a little about it, but we said that we would speak more, it's the private revelation, the concept of private revelation and public revelation. And we said that all revelations are private revelations, apart from the one, the only one, which is singular, which is the revelation of Christ, that is the public revelation. And we said that also that is somehow the same concept of religion and revelation. The private revelation would be religion, because it's a movement from the earth to heaven, and the public revelation would be revelation, which is a movement from heaven to earth. We said that those that had private revelation, somehow they prepare themselves, they clean their hearts, because the hearts, those that are pure of heart, see God. So they clean their hearts with penance, with sacrifices, with prayer, with stay away from things of the world. And when you stay away from the things of the world and you purify yourself, then you have heaven. In here, you have heaven for you. You have the beatific vision. So that's a movement from you up. But the revelation, it is not... you see, I don't see that Lucia, Francisco and Jacinta, they did not prepare themselves for the revelation. Not even St. Paul. St. Paul was doing the opposite, was persecuting the church, and Jesus came to him. Surely God believed in St. Paul, saw things that we didn't see, and the first church didn't see. As a matter of fact, they thought that he was a spy, so they were afraid of him. They thought that the conversion was not genuine, that he got inside the church so that he would know more people and persecute more people and kill more people. But of course, it's interesting how God chooses an enemy of the church to reveal the church to all nations. And he was indeed the best missionary in the first century and second century. So, brothers and sisters, that's the preparation we are doing. And what I can say more about private revelation and public revelation is, just to confuse you a bit. The public revelation is private. The private revelation is public. Both are public and private. Like we have now, at least in Europe, many companies are public and private. They receive funds from the government, so they are public, but the initiative is a private one, so they are also private. So it's the same thing with the revelation. We have all revelations are private, all revelations are public. So it won't be that big difference between these two type of revelations. They are all done in public. They are all done in private, I would say. That means that there are chosen people for to be the depositaries, the deposit of the revelation. The deposit of the revelation is done to a particular group or a particular person. but is not for private use. So that's the thing. It's never for private use. Of course, the revelation of Jesus was done privately, as I'm telling you, but was not for private use. It was for public use. But also the revelation of Fatima, it was done privately, but it was for public use. It was not for private use like the heaven speaks to Jacinta, Lucia, and Francisco and has great things to tell them for their private use. There's no single private revelation that is just for private use. It's to be used for the wide public. So let us see how the public revelation was also private. Look what Matthew says. Matthew 10, chapter 10, and verses 27. What I tell you at night, you should say it at the light of the day. And what you hear as a whisper, proclaim it from the housetops. So Jesus... The revelation of Jesus, certainly Jesus has a public life, as he does things publicly. He does public miracles, but he also does private miracles. And to those private miracles, he calls only three disciples, not even the 12, just calls three disciples. Like the resurrection of the daughter of Jairus, like the transfiguration, those are only witnessed by Peter, James, and John, not even the rest of the 12. And he tells them, don't speak about this until I rise from death. So even some miracles that Jesus does, especially in the Gospel of Mark, he says, tell no one. He says, tell no one. Don't go out and tell everybody what I did to you. No, tell no one. So there is kind of some privacy in the revelation of Jesus, which is the public revelation. And look at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 22-23. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So there you are. It's very... It looks like the answer of Jesus, it doesn't answer the point, but indeed it does. It does. It means that Jesus reveals himself only to those who love him and not to those who don't love him. And this makes me say sometimes in preaching, I want to provoke the listeners saying, look, God only loves the ones who love him. Like, you don't love me, I don't love you. It's like a teenager's love. And they all laugh, and they say, oh, Father, you are wrong. God loves everybody. God loves the evildoers and the saints. And he makes, as the Bible says, he makes rain for the good and the bad. So God loves everybody. And then I will say, yeah, it's true. God loved Hitler as much as he loved St. Francis of Assisi. God wouldn't be fair if he loved St. Francis of Assisi more than he loved Hitler. But what's the difference between Hitler and St. Francis of Assisi? Well, is that the only difference is that the love for both, the love from God to both, was there. The same amount. God wouldn't be fair. The thing is that St. Francis was open to that love. Hitler was not. Hitler turned his back on God. If you turn your back on God, God still loves you, but he cannot force his love. You know, even on human terms, you cannot force your love upon anybody. You cannot. So if that person is open to you, and that being open to you is loving you. So if that person is open to you, that means if that person loves you, then you can love that person because he's open to your love. If that person turns his back or her back on you, you can't help it. Your love has no effect on that person. So the same with God is God reveals only himself to those who love him. Remember that image that most of us have in our books of Jesus knocking at your door. You see that there is no handle in the door. That door can only be opened from inside. So, to conclude the subject, theoretically, yes, God loves everybody, but in practice, it is as if, that's the thing, that's the answer to this question, it is as if God didn't love you, because you are not open to his love, and since you are not open to his love, and you are not open to his love, why? Because you don't love him. And so, the effects of his love, his graces, are not received by you. They are rejected. And so it is as if God didn't love you. So you want God to love you? Well, open yourself to the love of God. That means love him back. You can only pay love with love, which is a Portuguese proverb. So, and look at what the Acts of the Apostles say on the same subject. God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witness, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So, when I was a little boy, I used to think, well, this is not fair. You know, Jesus should have appeared to Pilate, to Annas, to Caiaphas, to the chief priests, to the Pharisees. But he didn't. I mean, if indeed he rose from the dead, why wouldn't he appear to these people? That was the question of Judas Iscariot, not Iscariot. And the answer was Jesus only appeared to those who loved him, and the one who loved him more. Those were the first to see him, Mary Magdalene and Peter, according to the Gospels. So, again, with public and private revelation, you see that it is all revelations are private because not everybody experiences them. The revelation at Fatima, we could say that is also public and private, because it is private because only the three kids experience it. But indeed, they were alone at Cova d'Aia, they were alone, only the first apparition, that is the 13th of May. All the other apparitions, there was an increasing number of people coming. And I will tell you in another program, that those people also experienced something. And, of course, the last apparition, 13th of October, there were 70,000 people. And most of all experienced that famous miracle of the sun. So you see that this distinction between private and the public, it doesn't hold, because all revelations are private when they are made, But the use of that revelation is always for public use. The revelation of Jesus is for everybody. It was for everybody. And indeed, in Fatima, it's not the same type of revelation as we have been saying and we still say, but it was not just for these three kids, or not just for Portugal, or not just for Europe, it was for the whole world, and for the whole century, yes, even for the whole century. Okay, so in another chapter, private revelations are echoes of the gospel. You remember that one of the ways to approve a revelation, a private revelation, is that if it agrees with the gospel, if it agrees with the gospel and exhorts you to follow the gospel, very well and good. It's a good private revelation. If it doesn't agree with the gospel, no. Though that's one of the criteria, one of the main criteria is to turn away some people that say that they have been having experiences with the divine. So if they follow the gospel, well and good. If they don't, bad. And that must be another reason for those revelations to happen. And sometimes, as we said, is that psychological imbalances are the reason for those. Look what St. Thomas Aquinas says as revelation as being the echo of the gospel. If it was not for prophecy, people would degenerate. That's a very interesting point. For this reason, in all ages, men have been divinely instructed in matters expedient for the salvation of the elect. If it was not for prophecy, people would degenerate. Well, look at the whole gospel, the whole Old Testament. You know, God keeps sending prophet to almost any generation there is a prophet. Because if not, that generation degenerate. If in a generation they don't have a prophet, well, they will degenerate. They just got out of Egypt. And they saw, all the people of Israel saw what God has done for them. And after 1 or 2 years, they all forgotten that. And they start to degenerate. So Moses had a hard time with these people. And of course, then when Moses gives the law, but the people follow the law, but not always, and they start to going outside the law, and now God sends another prophet to drive them in. So these are prophecies, and I will tell you many times in the future, Fatima was a prophecy. So the prophecies are important to keep the people on the right track. And what is the right track? Is Jesus of Nazareth, the way, the truth, and life. He is the right track, and the gospel is the right track. So if it was not for prophecy, people would degenerate. For this reason, in all ages, men have been divinely instructed in matters expedient for the salvation of the elect. That is what St. Thomas Aquinas. Well, I'm going to quote you something that the father of Francisco and Jacinta, the first believer of Fatima, Mr. Marto, because Francisco is called Francisco Marto and Jacinta Marto, the two brothers, he says exactly the same thing as St. Thomas Aquinas. He was an ignorant person. He didn't know how to write and to read. Of course, he wouldn't have known that Thomas Aquinas have said that. But of course, the Holy Spirit blows where it wills. So he said this: since the beginning of the world, Our Lady has appeared many times in different ways, and that is what counts. The world is bad, but if there were not many cases like this apparition of Fatima, the worse it would have been. So you see the interesting thing that the world is bad, and if there were not these apparitions to drive people to the right track, the world would be much worse. So these Marian apparitions, and it's a shame, I tell you now, it is a shame. I studied in Spain theology in the Catholic University of the Jesuits there, and I was hoping when we studied Mariology that the teacher, that Mariology is the treaty about Mary, that the teacher would say something about these apparitions. You know, I was from Portugal and Fatima, I had grown up in Fatima. They never said anything. They never said anything. These theologians, they despise the mainstream theology, looks at these revelations with disdain, and they relegate them to popular piety. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit does not do that. And so it blows wherever it will, not just with the hierarchy, not just with the theologians, but erodes wherever. That's what John 3, chapter 3 and verses 8. So in the case of Fatima, the voice of the people is the voice of God. So to finish up this, before we end today, public and private. Well, the public is the principal, the main, the private is the secondary. The public is a compulsory, the private is optional. And also a big difference, the public is eternal, Jesus is for all times, is for all times and is for all places, all times, all spaces, all cultures, because Jesus appeals to human nature, but the private revelations, they are space and time related. That means they are for a certain time and a certain culture or a certain space. So those could be the difference. And better than public and private, eternal or space and time related, compulsory or optional, principal or secondary.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.